You are tuned to Radio Islam, Eden Wave 1548. Before we commence with the Q&A program, we have one another announcement. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. It is the mayyit of Marhuma, Sister Fatima Zahra Hassan Ali, the mother of Nazir and Riyaz Ali. The janaza will leave from 30 East Fahan Street in Roshni at 9 o'clock, and the janaza salah will be performed at quarter past 9 at the Roshni Qabristan. I repeat, the janaza in the mayyat of Marhuma Sister Fatima Zahra Hassan Ali, the mother of Nazir and Riyaz Ali. The janaza will leave from 30 East Fahan Street in Roshni. The janaza will leave the house at 9 o'clock, and the janaza salah, inshallah, will be performed at quarter past 9 at the Roshni Qabristan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive all the marhumin. Ameen. 22 minutes to 9 o'clock, inshallah. And yes, we welcome Mufti Afzal Hussein Ilyas. Mufti Sahab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam.
Mufti Sahab, jazakumullah. It's wonderful and great having you back on the program. And inshallah, we're looking forward to learning and grasping as much knowledge and masail as possible. And the saying of Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu comes to mind when he says it, "Man 'allamani harfan asiratu lahu 'abdan," a person who teaches me just one letter or one harf, I become his servant and his banda. Just imagine how much we owe to our ustad, those who have taught us dini, ilm and knowledge and masail. To the listeners of Radio Islam and Saturday, inshallah, if you have any questions, any queries, please to call us right away on 011-854-1548. And if you have any written questions, then the number to call is 011-854-7022. But it will be preferred if you call us live on air. And the number to call live on air is 011-854-1548. Start calling right now. With this, we have a number of questions, inshallah. Let's get down to the first question. The first question we have for today is that the sister wants to know that at a recent burial of a relative in Malaysia on a Friday afternoon, after the janaza salah was performed and the burial of the mayyat had taken place, the imam who performed the janaza salah requested the people present to recite Surah Ikhlas thrice, which was recited in a congregational form loudly, after which he made dua for the deceased. Is this method correct?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. I think that we have addressed a similar question, or if not the same question. Nevertheless, for learning purposes, we can reply. The respected imam who has done that action, unfortunately, there is no concrete basis for doing such an action in Sharia, that after the Salat a Janaza, remember the Salat a Janaza is a dua. Now, after that, to get the congregation to recite Surah Ikhlas three times, first of all, is not proven. Secondly, to get them to do it in unison is not proven. To get them to do it in congregation is not proven, and to do it after burial is not proven. So there are many factors here which are leading to the fact that the action, unfortunately, is one of innovation.
All right. Well, Hussain, just to cut you them off, we have a caller from New Zealand. Can we take the call first? Hussain Asmal, all the way from New Zealand. Hussain, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam, Mawlana. How are you?
Alhamdulillah, Hussain. How are you, my brother?
Alhamdulillah.
Jazakallah.
Very, very cold down here today.
Alhamdulillah. Jazakallah so much for calling.
Yes, just to let you know that, alhamdulillah, it's been great to listen to the radio station live on air. I've been doing that sort of regularly every morning because it's your evening there, and but it's Wednesday morning here now at about 7 in the morning.
Alhamdulillah,
it's great to hear voices back home and to be in touch with what's happening back in South Africa.
Ji, alhamdulillah, jazakallah for that. And when are you coming back to South Africa, Hussain?
No idea, Maulana. We've been quite busy as a Muslim Ummah recently. Formed the New Zealand Islamic Chamber of Commerce, and this has put some of us very busy with government organizations, but it is a project to uplift the Muslims economically. And two South Africans, alhamdulillah, was appointed by the Minister of Economic Affairs recently. I have been one of them
alhamdulillah.
To serve on this board. But it's great to listen to you again. Yes, Maulana.
Alhamdulillah, Jazakallah for the call, Hussein. I was just looking at my diary 2 days ago, and I came across your name, and I said, inshallah, in the 2-3 days' time, I'm going to call you.
Yes, inshallah, I need to email you as well, Maulana.
Jazakallah.
I've just been very busy.
Jee, inshallah.
Salams to the listeners and to everyone in the studio.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallah for the call, Hussein.
No problem. Thanks, Maulana.
All right. Salam alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Right, that's Alhamdulillah Hussein Asmal calling from New Zealand. Hussein, Jazakallah for your call all the way from New Zealand. 70 minutes to the hour of 9 o'clock, you are tuned to Radio Islam Edom, way 1548. And we have Mufti Afzal Hussein Ilyas on the line. If you have any questions, any queries, please do call us. And the number to call is 011-854-1548. Mufti, sir, we have question number 2, saying that at our local masjid, every Sunday morning, a few brothers gather in the masjid, and each one of them has a copy of the English translation of the Noble Quran Kareem. They then proceed and recite a chapter from the Noble Quran in Arabic. Thereafter, they read the English translation in English, each taking a turn in the reading. No ulama are involved in this program. Please comment.
As far as that action is concerned, that unfortunately, to read Quran Kareem, a translation, first of all, we do not know whether the translation is authentic or not authentic. Number two, we do not know whether that is a reliable translation. And number three, for people to gather around and then to read Quran Kareem and read a translation, and after that, subsequently, to express their own opinions about Quran Kareem is absolutely dangerous. It will lead to what we call tafsir bil rai, self-opinionated tafsir, and unfortunately, without the guidance of the ulama who understand the meaning, purport, significance of Quran Kareem, they will be misled in presenting their own arguments, own interpretation, lopsided views concerning Quran Kareem ayat. Remember, we are not against reading of reliable, proper, authentic translations or commentary, but we are definitely saying that there is no concrete or proper grounds for ignorant people who do not understand Arabic or who do not possess the qualities of making tafsir interpretation to sit around and pass their own sensible opinions about Quranic ayats, Quranic texts, and unfortunately, because of their lack of knowledge, they will be uttering words of blasphemy, kufr, without them even realizing it. The masjid trustees should address this issue very seriously, because the masjid must not become a place where batil spreads from, or batil is reared, or batil is nurtured, where falsehood is rooted. A masjid is a place the trustees should ensure that the ulama conduct tafsir classes, and inshallah the common people, the awam, they can benefit from the tafsirs conducted by the ulama, the who are the warisul anbiya, the heirs of the anbiya alayhi salam, and they are the ones who are schooled and tutored and disciplined in the sciences of principles of tafsir and interpretation, and they are the ones who are allowed to make interpretations according to the schooling that they have received. Remember, even the ulama, when they make tafsir, they don't give their own opinions, but they give their opinions as stated by the pious predecessors.
Gee, alright. Professor, Jazakallah for that. 30 minutes to 9 o'clock, we have an anonymous brother on the line in Indonesia. Brother, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Jazakallah for your call. Your question, brother?
My question is, I'd like to know from Mufti Saab, amongst the Muslim male, right, what is the Sharia law pertaining to the waxing of the chest and the arms and the back?
the waxing of the arms,
the chest.
Okay, the waxing of the arms and the chest.
Yeah, I listen to answer over here.
Alright, JazakAllah, brother. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Please stop waxing for males of the arms and the chest. What is the Sharia ruling?
Waxing will mean what?
What is that? I really don't know.
Well, I presume, yeah, waxing could mean removal of the hair. And if for medical reasons they want to do it, it will be permissible to do so. And if there is overgrowth of hair, overgrowth, and then it, there may be permissibility of removal of some of the hair. But if there is a natural growth of hair, for males, there will be no room for permissibility of taking that hair out.
Alright, JazakAllah for that. 12 minutes to the hour of 9 o'clock, you are tuned to Radio Islam, Edom Wave 1548. The listeners of Saturday Islam and Radio Islam, inshallah, any questions you have, please to call us right now on 011-854-1548. We have Mufti Ilyas on the line, and Mufti Saab is here to take on your calls. Any masala, any questions, please to call us. But Mufti Saab, we have another question saying that recently at our local masjid, after a visit from an alim from a certain town, every Wednesday after Maghrib and before Isha, a group of brothers gather on the balcony of the masjid and loud congregational dhikr takes place. Most of the brothers involved are not regular musallis of this masjid. I am sure you are aware of the verdict of Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu's opinion about a group of people who used to sit in the masjid after Maghrib and recite dhikr in a jama'at form. Your advice on the permissibility or impermissibility of loud dhikr in the masjid would be appreciated, and also the relevance of Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu's verdict in today's times. Please comment, Mufti Saab.
Concerning this issue, which is now gaining preference and gaining prevalence amongst many areas, and unfortunately, in I've been informed in the Cape Province that, let alone having loud zikr in the masjid, now they are also playing flute and beating duff in the masjid. So there is a movement, unfortunately, that has now brought the flute also into the masjid and the beating of the duff into the masjid. And the opinion of Hazrat Abdullah ibn Masud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, you can check it up, it is also recorded in Fatwa Rahimia, Volume 1. That English translation is available. However, we advise again here that the trustees should take stock of that masjid, whichever masjid is that, and the trustees are those who are supposed to be seeing to the welfare of the masjid and to the etiquette and the mannerism of the masjid, and also to see that no innovative practices take place in the masjid. We are clear from the Hanafi school of thought that it is written clearly in Fatwa Bazazia also that to raise your voice in zikr loudly is haram. It is clearly written that. You can see that also it has been recorded in a book called Sirat al-Mustaqim by Maulana Yusuf Ludhianvi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. And the Sheikh, if he wants his murid, his disciples, to perform acts of zikr, loud, congregational, individual, or movement of the head, etc., this should be done in certain homes or should be done in khankas and under the proper supervision of a proper, pious, reliable, authentic sheikh. Yes, the room of permissibility exists in the khanka as part of spiritual exercise. In fact, Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali has written in the Bayan al-Quran that if a person wants to make loud zikr, then he should go out of the locality. He should go out of the locality, Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali has written. And unfortunately, these days, it has become a great bone of contention. And here, as the questioner is stating, that brothers from other masjids are coming to this particular masjid. And obviously, it's going to cause disturbance to the musallis and those who are coming to the masjid. Remember that the musalli in the masjid, he has been given preference at all times, because the masjid has been constructed for the performance of salat firstly, and then for ta'lim, for teaching and learning of Islam. So we should try to avoid causing disunity by introduction of actions which are going to lead to dissension.
Alright, Muftam, JazakAllah for that clarification. 7 minutes to the hour of 9 o'clock, you are tuned to Radio Islam, Edom Way 1548. We have Mufti Afzal Hussain Elias on the program. And yes, this is a question and the answer session. You are most welcome to call us regarding any questions, any queries you have. The number to call again is 011-854-1548. I repeat, 011-854-1548. We have another question, Mufti Sahib, which was emailed to us earlier. And the question says, I need some information regarding dogs. Mufti Sam, is it permissible to keep dogs or a dog or dogs in the house?
As far as keeping of dogs or breeding of dogs, it comes clearly in the hadith. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the meaning of the hadith is that malaika, that angels, and here when we talk of malaika and angels, obviously we are referring to the angels of mercy. And they do not enter the home wherein that home has got dog, has got a dog or picture of an animate object. So now, obviously, the person who brings the dog into the house is depriving himself of the blessings of Malaika, and is depriving himself of the boons, favors, baraka from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So bring the dog in the house. This is Western culture. This is the culture of the disbelievers. This is the culture of those who got no confidence in the Sharia. And even they go to the extent of making them the inheritors of their properties and wealth, etc. And certain areas they put more emphasis on the well-being of the animals instead of the well-being of human beings. Even in an area, if you want to safeguard your home or your property, then the fuqaha have stated that at a distance away from your home, you can allow your dog to go and patrol that area. But there is no room for the dog to come into the home and to become a part and parcel of the household folk.
Alright, JazakAllah for that. Very true indeed, Mufti Sahib. Nabi alayhi salam says, لا تدخلوا الملائكة بيتا فيه كلب ولا سورة أو كما قال. 5 minutes to 9 o'clock. We go to lines number 4. We have Brother Rafiq in Lanesha. Rafiq bhai, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, how are you, Rafiq? Alright, your question, Rafiq bhai?
Yeah, okay, my first question is the cafe in the lettuce box, right? If it has a hole, what size of hole is permissible to still read what it is and make masa on it? And when the hole, what size if the hole is bigger than etc. in the sharia, then you can't use it, right? That's my first question. And my second question is, a person makes wazoo, and he's a person who can keep his wazoo, right? So he can even keep his wazoo for that matter for the whole day. Is it permissible for him to read all 5 salats for that wazoo, or what does the sharia say it is? The third question is...
Rafi, can you just repeat the second question?
Okay, the second question, a person makes wazoo in the morning for Fajr, right? But he is such a person that who can hold his wazoo for the whole day. Is it permissible for him to read, let's say, all 3 or 4, or for that matter, 5 salat with that wazoo, or is it preferable for each salat to make fresh wazoo?
Okay.
My third question is, like we say in salat, we should stand closer, you know, shoulder by shoulder. Our shoulders should be touching a person. But sometimes it's observed that because a person, maybe because of his wealth or status in society, he would not want to try, even if you try to stand closer to him, he will always try to make himself small. I don't know what is this ill that's happening. Mutisab can explain there further. And then the fourth question is, like in a Haram Sharif, when you're performing Salat, you have major call. Sometimes, I mean, there's mixture of men and women. If you made your call and next to you a woman come and stand and read the salat next to you, what is the sharia concerning that? And my last question is what does the sharia say concerning non-Muslims non-Muslims entering into the precincts of the Prophet area, that is Makkah, right? What is the regulations if a non-Muslim wishes to come there as King Faisal's guest, or King Faisal himself brings a non-Muslim guest into the sacred limits? Please reply in details with reference to the Quran and Hadith.
All right. Jazakallah Rafiq. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Jazakallah for that. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam.
All right. Jazakallah for holding on. Muhammad, a question?
My question is, I just like to know, sometimes when you read Namaz,
yeah,
they say you have to read so that you can hear yourself.
Yeah.
Sometimes what happens is if you read loud,
yeah,
it's disturbing the next person. So I just want to know that if it's permissible, it's okay, that maybe just if you can, maybe just move your lips and read.
All right, JazakAllah so much for that very important question, Muhammad. All right, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. But is that coming back to Brother Rafiq earlier who called just before the 9 o'clock?
Brother Muhammad first, is it?
Brother Muhammad, what is, I just forgot his question.
It was about recitation while you in Salat, then must you read audibly?
Oh, yeah, Ji.
Now, he had three scenarios there, and we notice in many masajids, unfortunately, that certain people recite their qiraat in their salat very, very loudly, and they cause a disturbance to others.
Yeah.
And they should be humbly advised by the other musallis that they should not be reciting their qiraat or their tasbihat or their attahiyat so loudly that causes disturbance to others. And replying directly to Brother Muhammad's question, that it is sufficient, it is written in the kitabs, that it is sufficient for the lips to be moving. If the lips are moving, it is sufficient for the validity of salat. It need not be audible for the person nearby or the person he himself. By moving the lips, it is adequate and sufficient to classify that salat as valid.
All right, JazakAllah for the clarification. And coming to Brother Rafiq's question, Murisabi's first question was regarding the size of the hole or the tear on the moza which nullifies and breaks the wudu.
Actually, his question was that the area of the hole which will not allow a person to make salat wearing such a moza. We have explained that last week, that if it has got the area of three small toes and both mozas, that is both leather socks, if the area is equivalent to or more than three small toes, then obviously the wuzu of that particular moza, wearing that particular moza, will break, and he will not be allowed to utilize that particular moza in performing of salat.
All right. Well, his next question was regarding wudu. Can you just clarify both instances? Or I think we have a call on the line. Let's go to anonymous call on the line. Anonymous caller, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam.
JazakAllah for your call, brother. Your question?
I'd like to pose a question to Morana.
Ji.
Morana, I have an enclosed business. And if I catch a thief,
Ji,
stealing from me.
All right.
This thief teases me not to lay a charge on him.
Okay.
Is it possible that I leave him on condition that he pays twice the price of what he stole? Half the price I'll take, and the other half the staff will take. This will encourage my staff to take care of the thieves and all that.
All right, so you got a question?
Yeah, I got a question.
All right.
I'll let it answer now. All
right, JazakAllah for the call, brother. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. What is the response and the answer?
The brother, although he may be feeling that this is an incentive for him or the staff so that they secure his premises and his property and his goods, but in the light of Shariat, I do not think so that will be permissible to implement such a penalty upon the thief. And it will be better that he goes through the legal procedure by reporting the case, etc. And he cannot put a penalty from his side as what he has suggested.
Alright, JazakAllah for that. 40 minutes past 9 o'clock, you are tuned to Radio Islam, inshallah, to the listeners of Satellite Islam in Radio Islam. If you have any questions, any queries, please do call us on 011-854-1548. Remember, a su'ad or nisful ilm, to question is half of knowledge. Please do give us a call. Ed Mufti Ilyas is online to give you the answer. Mufti Sahib, Rafiq's second question was regarding wudu. If a person makes wudu in the morning, say for example, if he makes wudu at the time of Fajr, when Zuhr Salah approaches, does he have to make a fresh wudu for the time for Zuhr Salah?
Actually, his question was that can a person make wuzu, and would that one wuzu perform all five salats? That was one of his questions. Secondly, the second question was that can he perform the wuzu prior to the salat, although he has got wuzu? So the answer is yes, it is permissible for him to perform with one wuzu all his salat for the entire day. So he is able to maintain his wuzu for the entire day, and he does not go to toilet or does not break wuzu by any other factor which breaks the wuzu. So he makes wuzu at Fajr time, and with that same wuzu he performs the Isha. That will be permissible. However, although he has got wuzu and then the salat time comes and he wants to perform wuzu, alal wuzu, wuzu upon nur, wuzu, that is nur ala nur, that is celestial light upon light, and that is sawab upon sawab, and that will be a good action done. So he can do that. That will be preferred to do. That will be mustahab to do.
Alright, JazakAllah, 16 minutes past 9 o'clock. I think we have an anonymous call on the line. Anonymous sister on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Walaikum salam.
Yes, sister, your question.
Walaikum salam. Hello.
Hello, G. Yes, sister, your question.
Is my question.
Sister, can you just put your radar down, please?
My question.
G.
Is, I want to ask if you go for. You're reading Umrah Qaza Namaz, eh?
Yeah.
And if you go for. Out of the country.
Gee.
And that is my first question. And the other question is, I want to know, if, say you want to read your Umrah Qaza Namaz, in between you passed away, and then.
What is that? You got the questions.
The first one is.
Hello?
Hello, Gee. Ben, just hold on.
Explain the first question.
Ben, just explain the two questions again, Mal.
The first one.
The first one. Alright, 17 minutes past 9 o'clock. Mujisab, I just got the question was Qaza-i Umri, if a person goes out of the country, but there's no real clarification on that one. Sister, please do call us, inshallah.
But I see what he's trying to say, that can you perform Qaza-i Umri when you're outside the country?
Yes,
you can perform Qaza-i Umri. But remember that because you are outside the country, perhaps she's indicating that because you are a Musafir, now that will make the Qaza-i Umri also like a Musafir Salat half. No, that will not be the case. The Qaza-i Umri will be as per normal. That means full salat of Qaza-i Umri. And obviously, if the Qaza has been missed during Safar, Musafir condition, then your Qaza will also be also on the Musafir condition. But when you're outside the country, then when you are making Qaza-i Umri, then you will carry on making it normal. It is permissible, but you will do it normal, full rakat, full quantity of rakat. The second one is, if a person has been making Qaza-i Umri and passes away, then inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the person will be able to have a case to present before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that I was trying to cover up my salat, I was trying to make up for my Qaza Salat, I was moving positively in the right direction. Inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be most merciful upon that person. He stands a better chance of being forgiven than a person who got no care for Salat whatsoever.
Alright, Murtaza, coming back to Brother Rafiq's question, you'd like to respond to the other two questions of Brother Rafiq?
Yes.
The one question was regarding the Haram Sharif, where the person makes the call of the Salah, and all of a sudden a woman comes next to you. What happens in that instance, in that Masala?
As far as that is concerned, then we should understand something, that if this is a Farz Salah, if the lady, it is written first of all in the classical work, that if the lady comes on your right hand side or on your left hand side or in front of you, then your salat is in jeopardy. But if she is behind you, then your salat is not in jeopardy. However, I have been informed that respected Mufti Ashraf of the Springs Darul Uloom has done some research on this concerning this masala and the haram, and he is of the opinion, as per his research, that since the imam of the haram does not make the intention for the ladies, then this masala will not apply. However, as caution, that a person should go into that area where only males are, and there is a very little possibility of females coming into that area.
Alright, Jazakallah. And the final question of Brother Rafiq Mufisab was regarding the Haram Sharif as well, or regarding Makkah Mukarramah, and his question was regarding the non-Muslims entering Makkah Mu'azzama or Medina Sharif as guests. What is the Masala?
As far as the rulings are concerned, it is very clear that Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala who strictly adhered to it and implemented it, the removal of all disbelievers from the blessed lands of Hijaz, from the blessed lands of Makkatul Mukarramah, from the blessed lands of Madinatul Munawara. And in fact, if you go towards Madinatul Munawara and Makkah, you'll find boards on the roadside that this is the cut-off point, or the non-Muslims cannot go further than this point here. And this law should be maintained so that the sanctity of the Islamic Sharia law is maintained, which has been proclaimed by Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and strictly implemented by Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. The king wants a guest, inshallah he can host them in other places, Jeddah and Riyadh, etc. And if they want to give them dawah to Islam, the dawah of Islam can be given not necessarily by bringing them into Makkah or Medina.
Alright, JazakAllah for that. 22 minutes past 9 o'clock to the listeners of Satellite Islam and Radio Islam. If you have any questions, any queries, please to call us on 011-854-1548. We have Mufti Ilyas on the line and Mufti Sab is there to take on your questions. Rest and Mufti Sab, another question, a written question coming from the receptionist saying that I am a businessman and people buy from me to sell to the public, but sometimes return it back to me if they don't sell it. What is the Islamic ruling of this?
Can you go slowly with that question?
I am a businessman and people buy from me to sell to the public, but sometimes return it back to me if they don't sell it. What is the Islamic ruling of this?
There is one, two options here that the person can do. One is that has he concluded the transaction with the so-called, I presume, hawker, that the person has come and now has taken goods for sale. And when this transaction is completed, then the seller who sold the person who is returning the goods, he has got total option whether to accept it or not. However, if he accepts it, then according to one hadith, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that the person who accepts that goods, inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him a mansion, a palace in Jannah. So ihsanan, out of goodness and good behavior and cordiality and hospitality, and also having mercy for the person who tried to sell the goods and did not sell the goods, then he accepts the return, then inshallah he will be rewarded tremendously, because he will be aiding his fellow man in order to get and to strive for a halal sustenance. So he is fully entitled not to take it back, but if he takes it back, he will be rewarded tremendously.
Alright, JazakAllah. So the listeners, 011-854-1548 is the number to call if you have any questions or any queries. 24 minutes past 9 o'clock. Another question we have is, at the time of Salah, if you get visitors, what should you do? How should you react to them between Asr and Maghrib?
Why between only Asr and Maghrib this person is specifying, I do not know. However, that if you get visitors, as a rule, this is a quite an interesting and important question also, that because certain times you get visitors, then you either discard your salah totally, unfortunately, or you discard and leave out salat with jamaat in the masjid, which is not a very good thing to do, because many fuqaha have stated that salat in the masjid, in jamaat, is wajib in nature. Most scholars, however, say it is sunnat and muqaddah. However, we know there is tremendous salah reward in making our salat with jamaat. Now the person, if he gets visitors, also when you get visitors, this kufar concept of the men and women sitting together and drinking tea together, etc., is totally haram, prohibited, un-Islamic, and there is no barakah in such a visit and such a entertainment. There is no such thing as cordiality and hospitality. Cordiality, hospitality should be done within the parameters and framework of the Sharia. If it exceeds the framework of the Sharia, which is clearly defined that the lady should be separate and the men should be separate, then there will be a reward and barakah. And just confining to the confirming to the laws of Sharia and adhering to the laws of Sharia will be rewarding in nature. The person should encourage their brother and take him along to the masjid and go and perform salah. Meanwhile, the ladies can perform their salah, and also that the ladies can be fed during that time with their refreshments, etc., while the men folk have gone for salat with jamaat. But a person should not suffer an inferiority complex and sit down with his guest, gossiping, backbiting, laughing, and engage in vain and futile discussion, resulting in leaving out the salah.
Alright, JazakAllah. 27 minutes past 9 o'clock. You are tuned to Radio Islam on Medium Wave 1548. We have a caller, and that is an anonymous sister in Mayfair. Sister, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam.
Jibin, yes, clear your question.
Yes, my question is regarding with marriage. I'm at the age of 42. And I'm not yet married, so can you answer my question? That is it? I mean, my faith in iman is strong in Allah, but you know, it's just that people tell you, oh, you're at this age, you're not yet married, and so on. So I'd like to get an answer to the question.
All right, JazakAllah.
What is the difficulty?
Ben Mutisab is asking a question.
What is the difficulty?
Sister? Are you online?
Why is she worried? What are they telling her?
Murtisab is asking, what are the people telling you? What is the difficulty?
Oh, they start telling me, like, you know, now at this age, there's people, there's boys that don't want to, you know, they first, when they propose, they want to know what your age is.
Okay, no problem. I'll answer.
All right. JazakAllah for that question, sister. Allah make it easy for you.
So, what do I do?
Okay, Murtisab will answer your question, inshallah. You want to listen on air?
Yes.
All right. Assalamu alaikum. Just have your question, your jawab and answer.
Yes.
Ji.
First of all, that sister concerned, she should not be worried. Inshallah, she makes dua, be steadfast on iman, and be regular in salat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send her a suitable, inshallah, partner for her. And as you have rightly and adequately made dua, we also request all those who are listening to make dua, that that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for her, and she should not suffer from inferiority complex by those who are taunting her and those who are trying to run her down, that the marriage is part of taqdeer. Inshallah, sooner or later it will happen. She should maintain her dignity, honor, chastity, and live in the faith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will inshallah send her her proper adequate partner, inshallah. And if she maintains her chastity and dignity, and without her fault does not marry and passes away, there should be no flaw upon her, and no mistake upon her, and no error upon her, and her iman will be intact, and inshallah she will go into the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Inshallah, sister, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you a pious, a suitable and a loving husband, inshallah. Yes. And don't worry about the chance. Thousands of people are making dua for you. You take care, inshallah.
Jazakallah so much.
Jazakallah. We all making dua for you, inshallah.
Inshallah. Jazakallah.
Ameen. Ameen. Jazakallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allah grant you a wonderful loving spouse. 30 minutes past 9 o'clock, you are tuned to Radio Islam, Eid Mu'id 1548, to the listeners of Satellite Islam and Radio Islam. Yes, we have about another 25 minutes to go into this program. If you have any questions, any queries, yes, please to call us right away on 011-854-1548. Sorry, Mufti Sahib, speaking about husbands and wife, we have a question here, very interesting also. The question is, if a husband has two wives, then in Jannah, which wife will he be with?
This question has been answered in the books of Ahadith, and it is stated that the one that he loves most, inshallah, that's the one he will be in Jannah. However, yeah, a person who is listening may have a little objection and doubt that what about the other wife? And also, generally, the wives have a question that if my husband is going to be with me in Jannah, and there are going to be many other spouses there, and many other ladies available for him, then what is going to happen to my position and status? However, the wives must know that they are going to be the queens there, and they are going to be the head of the household, and they are going to be the most beautiful amongst the wives for that husband, number one. Secondly, that in Jannah, this is a very important principle that I'm going to mention, that in Jannah, there is going to be no such thing as jealousy. The quality of jealousy, malice, hatred, which lurks in every heart on the surface of the earth, in Jannah, there is not a iota, not a atom of jealousy in the heart of a Jannati. So there will be no such thing as one Jannati is going to be holding any jealousy for another one. So the wife, when although surrounded by other co-wives, etc., will not have any jealousy, malice, hatred in her heart, so she should not be worried about that.
Alright, Jazakallah for that. 28 minutes to 10 o'clock, go to Azadville. We have an anonymous sister in Azadville. Sister, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam. I just want to ask Muslim subsequent questions.
Alright.
The first question, in the haram, whether in Makkah or Medina, or the Muslim Medina, when the women are in hijab, how, like in salah time, it is very difficult to make salah with the hijab. Now, I've noticed quite a few places in the haram that they have cameras. Now, should we open our faces in making salah or not? And number two, do the imams make niyat for the women in the haram?
Alright, JazakAllah for those two questions, sister. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. The answer to those two questions of the sister?
The camera. First question, that it will be highly advisable not to uncover the face, even in the Masjid al-Haram, in both the harams, because of the cameras, as explained by the sister. However, if it is too cumbersome and too difficult to perform the salat with the veil, then there will be some room of permissibility to facial features of the person. Those are very general cameras, although there is a possibility of zooming in, etc. And this is very interesting. The next time I'm out there, I will make proper inquiries about those cameras and who are monitoring the ladies section. It will be very logical, and it will be expected of the authorities there that those cameras are being monitored. The ladies are monitoring the ladies section and the men are monitoring the men section. That will be the proper design of administration there. But we do not know, and we will try to find out. However, it will be better to cover. Secondly, that we have been time and again reported as the imams do not make niyat, do not make intention for the ladies. However, the Hanafi scholars have approached the
1548. We just have another question. It just came in from a sister. The question regarding Hayd, Mufti Sahib. It says, it's time for my Hayd, but we're not getting the red color, rather a white discharge with a little blood inside, and sometimes it looks like brownish. Is it regarded as Hayd? What is the ruling? And the Masala, Mufti Sahib.
If the lady is a regular, what we term Sharia as regular, her times are fixed. That means that during that particular time, then the haze, the duration starts. Then she will wait for that date. However, if she is irregular, then this color here will be classified as haze.
All right, Jazakallah. And the next question is a fact that just came in. It says, Assalamu alaikum. My 8-year-old son asked me the following question and I could not answer him. Can Mufti Sahib answer it for me, please? The question is, why is it that in the Zuhr and Asr Salah, the Imam recites silently?
First of all, we must understand something, that the deen of Islam that has reached us via transmission, via continuous transmission. The action of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what he did, the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala hum ajmain practiced upon it. Subsequently, the followers of the Sahaba, followers of the companions of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who we call Tabi'een, they also did likewise. So by continual transmission of action, the deen of Islam, alhamdulillah, has reached us in pristine purity up to today. Like the silent nature of Zohr and Asr, and the audible nature of Isha, Maghrib and Fajr. Similarly, for example, 20 rakat in Taraweeh, when you look carefully, great scholars like Imam Shafi Rahmatullah Alayhi also state clearly that 20 rakats have reached us via continual transmission. Now, one is how it reached us. Secondly, the wisdom behind it. So perhaps the person wants to know the wisdom behind silent Salat of Zuhr and Asr. It is stated that the recitation of Zuhr and Asr Salat should irritate and should cause the Kuffar and Mushrikeen great what you call, they were rising against the Muslims reciting Quran al-Kareem loudly. To such an extent that when Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala and who should recite Quran al-Kareem, then the Mushrikeen objected to this. And in fact, they harassed him and complained even to Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he is reciting Quran. Remember, when they recited Quran, this was open message of Islam to those who did not who had not accepted Islam up to that time. And Zohar and Asr was their time of resting for these non-Muslims, recitation of Quran al-Karim was going to provoke them and incite them against the Muslims. Therefore, this was done without loud recitation.
All right, JazakAllah for that. 21 minutes to 10 o'clock, you are tuned to Medium Wave 1548. We have 20 minutes still left on the program. If you have any questions, inshallah, please to call us on 0118541548. And we go to a person called Haider in Lens. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
JazakAllah for your
call. I'm not in Lens, I'm in Annadale.
Oh, sorry, JazakAllah for your call, brother.
Sheikh, I was explaining to the, I don't know if it's the engineer or the producer, that maybe I'm out of line here.
Okay, go ahead.
Because I'm not phoning to ask any question. But I got touched, but there was a lady that phoned.
Yeah, yeah.
Talking about her not being married and people saying this. Gee. Well, I myself,
yeah,
I was married, but unfortunately, I did make talaq and I don't have a wife. I've been thinking of nikah.
Gee, gee,
but every time I tried it, Allahu Akbar, only Allah knows, it never worked out. It never came. I even had dates made for the nikah, but before that could come, it didn't work out. And I want you to know I'm not a rich man, I'm a poor man.
Alright, alright.
But my niya has been to make nikah for a long time now. If it is possible, if Allah wills, maybe I can leave my phone number. Maybe you can, if it's possible, to get me in touch with the lady. I may not be the person for her, but in my heart it touched me when I heard that. It made me think of myself living without nikah.
All right, brother, leave your telephone number with our engineer, Brother Jed. May Allah grant you also a loving spouse, inshallah.
Ameen.
Ameen. Jazakallah, brother. Assalamu alaikum wa
rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Mufti Saab, matchmaking on Radio Islam. 90 minutes to 10 o'clock, we have another question here. What is that? The next question is, what is the correct way to make salam and reply?
As far as salam, that is a normal salam.
Which is assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And the best reply to the sister is, wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Another question is that it was faxed to Radio Islam, can Muslim girls go alone to university?
Let's go for the first question, the first monologue. That concerning the salam, let me answer that one a little bit. As far as that is concerned, we have written one kitab, it's called Virtues of Salam. And we have explained about all the virtues and also the various laws pertaining to salam, meaning the salam for the minority to the majority, salam of male, female, salam of elders, salam of juniors, when to give salam, when not to give salam, when it is permissible to give salam, when it is not permissible to give salam, the origin of salam and the responsibility of conveying of salam. And the brothers who are interested, anybody interested, go to my website alislam.co.za and you can pick it up there, that kitab will be there, inshallah. And the preferable method, as you have explained, however, do not complete the whole salam in your initiation of the salam. That is why say assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Now you're giving the person who is replying some room for extension. That means he will be able to reply wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. Now you have allowed him to add wa barakatuhu so that he gets a reward also.
Alright.
If a person initiates the salam and he goes right up to a barakatuhu, then what have you left for the person who is replying? So leave something in the hadith. The meaning of the hadith also is that when you give salam and then you do not leave anything for your brother, it says, what have you left for your brother? How he is going to earn some reward?
Alright.
So be accommodating and you leave something for him, so that when he replies, he is all able to complete the reply completely to its perfection and thereby earning extra reward.
All right. 70 minutes to the network. We have two other callers. Anonymous brother in East Strand. Brother, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
All right, jazakallah.
Can Mukhtisa please clarify the usage of a credit card used to pay on budget?
credit card used to pay on budget.
Yeah.
Alright. Mujisab, your response?
Jazakallah.
Jazakallah. Wa alaikum salam. Okay, Mujisab, before you answer that question, let's go to anonymous brother Indonesia. Brother, salam alaikum wa rahmatullahi.
Maulana, I'd like to ask Mujisab two questions.
Okay.
Firstly, if you're working for a company and it's compulsory to take out a medical aid scheme and a pension scheme.
Yeah.
Now you've gone to the closest to tell him, okay, you wouldn't mind a hospital plan on a day-to-day, you see to yourself.
You
realize that you put tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but the argument to the thing is that you've got to, if you have an emergency, you've got to cover yourself. And then secondly, regarding short-term and long-term insurance, Sharia ruling to that effect, it comes on cars, that people talk of opposite party fire theft. And then talking on long-term insurance, you hear people still saying that there's certain offerings coming through various Sharia rulings of certain investments you put in, and so you are covered in a long-term sort of thing. Can you please give us clarity on that also?
Okay, most clearly. Jazakallah for your call, brother. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Yes, Mufti Sahib, your response to those two questions, the first one being the credit card.
There's a lot of business questions there. Maybe they like you, Maulana Kara. Maybe they feel that you're businessly, business-minded. So they bring all business questions for you. Okay. First one, concerning the budget card. First of all, we would like to advise humbly all the listeners that avoid using plastic money. Avoid using plastic cards. Avoid using this system, because this system, unfortunately, is designed to track you down, and eventually, in one of my tapes I have mentioned, when I was doing the series on Dajjal and the system of Dajjal, that they will eventually come up with a smart card which will record every transaction of yours, no matter how small and big, and they will be able to track you down, your locality even, with the aid of that smart card. So as a rule, that try not to use the plastic money, plastic card, especially when you got no control over your hand, over your pocket, over your finances.
Very important.
If you have got sufficient means, then you may utilize plastic card for security purposes, that you don't carry money around. But if you are a person who got no control over your funding, over your money, and then you go and give your family, your children, etc., plastic cards, then unfortunately, within a month or two, you are in so much debt that eventually the bank starts owning you, then the bank takes over your life and eventually takes you over your house, your car, everything. However, the question, as the questionnaire stated, that when a person pays with a card, that you either can pay what they call straight or direct, or budget. Now, straight obviously means that if you have paid for an article, you bought an article for 100 rand, and the cashier asks you that straight, that you say straight, meaning they are going to draw 100 rand directly and pay it to the store from your funds available. Budget means that they are going to now charge that person some interest on it. And that person who's been charged that interest knows that interest and knows fully well that this is going to be done, first of all, by a set, fixed, specified interest amount. So there is no tajawul, there is no ignorance of amount paid by a budget. That means a transaction has got no ignorance factor in it, and it will be permissible for that person to accept payment, because the shopkeeper, he is paid out directly. Now the client and the bank, he is the funder, and the client is being funded by the bank. So the client will obviously have to pay the bank. And because it is on budget, the shop owner, he has got his money, and he is out of the scenario and picture. The client and the bank will now have to settle the score meaning the client has to pay the bank extra above the 100, which the client fully well knows, because when they take out this plastic card, they know the laws, rules, regulations attached to that plastic card, and they know if they do direct, what's the repercussions, and if they have to buy via budget, they know what is the added figure. So the matter, second matter, will rest now between the client and the bank. The client will be involved in an interest transaction, and that obviously the Muslim should be abstaining from,
at
least from the client's point of view.
Okay, Muslim, JazakAllah for that clarification. 11 minutes to 10 o'clock, we have an anonymous brother in Indonesia. Brother, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi. Hello, brother.
Wa alaikum salam.
JazakAllah for your call, your question.
I've got two questions. The first question I'd like to know is smoking prohibited? I'd like to know, is it makruh, is it haram? What is the law pertaining to smoking cigarettes, right?
Okay, and the second question?
The second question is concerning soccer.
Soccer.
Is soccer, are we allowed to, Muslim youth, are we allowed to play soccer?
Okay. Any other questions?
That could be it.
Okay. All right. JazakAllah for your call, brother. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Smoking and soccer.
We've got two questions here.
Okay. Mustafa, before you answer those two questions, let's take anonymous sister in Indonesia. Sister, are you there? Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam. I want to know if I can pray the Quran Zawal time.
If you can read the Quran Kareem Zawal time.
Yeah.
All right, JazakAllah for that question. Will someone answer it now?
Okay, put the phone down.
Gee, you could then. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. I'm just have those two questions.
There were three questions and the two remaining ones, that's five.
All right.
So I think that will be all for the night, inshallah.
Maybe more, Mufti sahab.
Because we've got 9 minutes to do five questions. let's do the last one first.
Okay.
It is permissible to recite Quran Kareem during Zawal time.
Okay.
Second question. Concerning smoking. Smoking, remember, for anything to become haram in Islam, what we call, we have to have nusus katiya. That means clear, categorical, unambiguous, non-ambiguous text of Quran Kareem for anything to become haram. Now, smoking, we do not have that text. Although, you'll find some of the Arab ulama using this word haram for smoking. However, that is not the correct ruling. Smoking is not haram. However, definitely, it is makruh. Makruh meaning it is detested, disliked, it is not desirable. Now, the degree of detestment, the degree of dislikeness will be as per smoker. If a doctor tells a person that for you, you should not smoke. For you, it is detrimental to your health. For you, it is not good for your health. Then, for that person, it will reach right up to makruh tahrimi, near prohibited haram. And for one person, the doctor says that although it is not detrimental to your health, but you may smoke. So, for that person, the detestment will be of a lower level. However, because it is a waste of money, waste of time, waste of energy, it is literally, figuratively burning your money away, that is, therefore, it is definitely disliked. It will come under also lavishness, extravagance, and it will be of wastage of time and money. Soccer, as far as soccer is concerned, that all these games which distract a person from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, involvement in those games during the time of remembrance, as far as Salat is concerned, will definitely become not permissible. There is a kitab by Mufti Mahmood Ashraf. We have translated it. It's called Sports and Recreation in Islam. It's available on my website, and where he has mentioned certain principles. And to play sports like soccer just for a little while will be permissible, but to waste money, time, to take it to different levels, national, provincial, professional levels, definitely it is grossly wasting time, Muslim, Allah Ta'ala has not created a Muslim for these vain activities, for these futile activities. There are enough ayats in the Quran al-Kareem which can be used to prove that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has not created this entire world in mere vain and futility without any set purpose. A Muslim should realize his importance, his significance, his value and status and position. A Muslim has not been created here for kicking a ball around and for wasting his time on those things which do not benefit him. Basically, a Muslim must do those activities that benefit him in this world, in the Qabr and in the Akhirat. Any action you do which does not have these three benefits, question it. Are the other two questions, Balana?
Well, sir, the other one was regarding medical aid and pension funds.
As far as that brother is concerned with the medical aid, because he is forced by circumstances and the company wants him to take out a medical aid, then because of the duress that the company is putting upon him, he should take out that medical aid. In fact, a certain group of ulama are of this opinion due to the deteriorating situation in our country as far as the government hospitals are concerned, then some room of permissibility of certain medical aids is becoming permissible. And there are some now so-called Muslim institutes, financial institutes, who are trying to offer adequate medical aid schemes which are Shari compliant. The other question was about
the
insurance.
And the long-term insurance, too.
As far as the insurance is concerned, that short-term insurance due to the high crime rate in certain areas, depending on which area you are in, and depending on the crime rate of your area, and depending on the rate of your possibility of your article vehicle being stolen. Unfortunately, there are certain areas in our country so sad that if you go there, then most probably you will be without your vehicle. In that case, short-term insurance will be permissible. As far as that long-term insurance is concerned, I do not know much about that.
All right. Mutasab, Jazakumullah, we have learned a great deal of Dini Ilm and knowledge. Many Masail were learned. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you for your time and your dedication. And to the listeners that post questions in writing, unfortunately, we could not go through all, but next week, inshallah, it will be posed. Mutasab, again, Jazakumullah, make dua for us. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.